This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
There's something crazy happening in just a matter of weeks, and I just thought it's important for us as a church. I wanted to talk to you about politics and elections and us as a church. And I think for the most part, most of us in this room, this is something that we're all interested in. And for me personally, it's not really something I like to talk about. It's not something I live my life around. I have no problem talking about religion and God and all those things from this stage, but politics from the stage is just not something that I typically like to dive into. But I have this philosophy that I've always carried, but I haven't really ever shared with the church, but I believe it. And my philosophy is simply this: if you are talking about it around your dinner table, then we should probably be talking about it in God's house. And so that's my thought. If you're talking about your dinner table, we should be talking about it in God's house. So what I know is everyone's got an opinion, right? So let's try to figure out what's God's opinion in this whole thing. Now, I just know this two-part series, for some of you, it might make you a little uncomfortable. Good. Sometimes, how many know we need to be a little uncomfortable? And for some of you, you might hear something that you disagree with, and I would just say to you, good. Sometimes we need that in our lives as well. But I do promise you this, that at the end of it, we're going to get better. We're going to get better, and we all need this in our lives, in our nation today. So I thought I would start out with a statement, a question that you need to know that I have the answer to. I'm going to give you the question, but I already know the answer to this. So here's the question. Who does Jesus want to win on November 5th? You guys are quiet in the room today, right? Who does Jesus want to win on November 5th? This is exciting, right? Like, come on. He's like, I came to church for this. Let's just jump right into it. Who is Jesus' pick? Who does he want to win on November 5th? And I just want you to know, as your pastor, I have the answer. I've ascended the hill. I've heard from the Lord, right? And you're going to be able to walk away from here very at ease going, I know who God wants to win on November 5th. And if Jesus was coming today, if he was on earth, I know who he'd be campaigning for. If Jesus was here, I know who he would champion in this season. I have the answer that everyone is wanting to ask. And I want you to know this, no matter your background, no matter if you are a donkey category or an elephant category, you need to understand that Jesus has a category that he wants to win. And I'm going to show it to you today because Jesus was pressed multiple times on the issue of politics. Multiple times he was asked about it. And as we establish a foundation today, I want to make it clear whose side Jesus is actually on. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was taken before one of the political leaders. His name was Pilate. And Pilate asked Jesus his position on the political world. And look what he said. This is what he said to him in John 18. He says, Pilate then went back inside the palace. He summoned Jesus and he asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus goes on and says, is this your own idea, Jesus asks, or did others talk to you about me? So basically, Pilate's asking, are you the leader of this group, or whose side are you on in this world that we live in? By the way, I think this is a really great Jesus response that he gives here that really is important for our lives. Like, we should be asking, how are you and I examining how we know about Jesus? Like, what's our filter that we know about Jesus? Like, is this your own idea? Did you make it up? Do you have your own idea of Jesus? Are you getting other people's opinion of who Jesus is? Because I would say, I think in this season we live in, we got to be very careful who we listen to on their opinion of who Jesus is. Because everybody right now wants Jesus on their side. Everybody wants Jesus on their side. Well, Jesus wouldn't do this. Well, Jesus wouldn't do that. I would just say to you, we need to be very careful whose opinion that we're listening to. Jesus goes on to say, John goes on to write, he says, am I a Jew? Pilate replied, your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? And Jesus makes this statement that I want to remind the church today. He makes this incredible, incredible statement. And look what he says. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place." Jesus establishes a statement that is so crucial in this political season that we're in right now. It is so crucial for us to be reminded about this statement, especially when we are in a world that is saying, which side is Jesus on? Jesus steps on the scene here and he says this, "I want to remind you that I'm part of a kingdom that is greater than any kingdom that you guys are a part of." Like, he's basically saying, I'm building something that's bigger than what you think the election is about. I'm building something bigger than the person you want voted in. I love what Tony Evans says, man. This is an awesome statement. I love it. He simply said this, "Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over." Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. Jesus establishes his church, his people. He established it, and he says, listen, this is the group of people that I've come to establish to do something great. I want to establish this thing, this thing that I've come to do, this church that I've come to build. So when I'm asked the question simply on the screen, who does Jesus want to win? When I'm asked the question, who does Jesus want to win? Here's the answer, and maybe it's not what you want to hear, but the answer is very clear. He wants the church to win. Who does Jesus want to win on November 5th? The church. He wants the church to win. If Jesus has an opinion in this season, which he does, he desires for the church to win. It doesn't mean that we don't get political. It doesn't mean that we don't vote. Can I say to you, you need to vote. You need to vote. There's 3 million plus Christians every year who don't vote. You need to vote. You have an opinion. You need to vote. You need to go out there and do that. And we'll talk more about that next week if you're here. I'm going to give you some filters on your decision. So hopefully you'll come back for part two of this church and state thing. But you need to vote. But I want to establish this two-part series today by saying this. If we are to look at which side Jesus is on, then we need to be reminded what John says when Jesus said these words, "My kingdom is not of this world." Basically, what he's saying is, I'm a far above anything that's been established by man. I'm far above that. So what happens on November 5th, yes, it is super crucial. But I want you to know, it's not the main focus of Jesus right now. It's not his main focus. And here's my big concern for us as a church. Here's my big concern, simply this, that a candidate will win based upon what happens on November 5th. Listen, that's based on voting, a candidate's going to win. And that's how our democracy works. That's the way we do things. But my concern is this, and I want to address it to us today. But the church will win based on our actions before, during, and after November 5th. The church will win based on our actions before, during, and after November 5th. So if we're going to be part of this thing that Jesus wants to win in this season, then I need to be your pastor for just a few seconds here to both extremes of the party. And I want to say this to you. We need to elevate our actions during this season to make sure that we are understanding our role as primarily part of a kingdom that's greater than anything that the world has to offer. It's bigger than the election. It's bigger than who gets voted in. It's bigger than the Supreme Court. Now, while all those things are vitally important, while all those things are things that we should care about and the things that we do as Americans, we also have to be reminded that we are part of something bigger than the United States of America. We are. We are part of God's kingdom. And that makes a difference. Now, again, let me just say this because some of you are in politics. Some of you are passionate about politics, and I don't downgrade any of that. Those things are very, very important. But I think more important than who wins in just 2 weeks is the fact that throughout this season, the world can look at us as a church and see our actions and our love and our response and our ability to care and our focus on Jesus. So no matter if their candidate wins, we win as a church. We win as a church. So before Jesus was asked this question of who is the kingdom? Are you the king of the Jews? Before he was asked that question, before he was asked what side are you on, which group you're on, a few hours before that, he's sitting in the upper room with his disciples, and he gives them a challenge, right? It's the night before he's betrayed, or the night he was betrayed. He's given the Last Supper, and he's sitting there and he's talking to them and he's challenging them, and he gives them his final prayer request. He makes his final prayer request for his disciples. And it's the same prayer request that I believe that he would have for us as the church today in such a polarized and divisive season and world that we live in. And I believe Jesus would speak this very same thing over our lives and your life today. Look, it's in John chapter 17, starting at verse 15. And this is what he says, right? He starts this way. He says, "My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." He starts this prayer this way to God. Now, I want to say this to you. The evil one is not Harris. The evil one is not Trump. How many know we're in a world that our battle is not against flesh and blood? It's not against flesh and blood. Our battle is a spiritual battle. And that is why God has left you in this world. Because he knew about those battles. He left us in this world so that you and I can be examples, so that we're able to push back darkness through the spiritual kingdom that we are part of, which is so bigger than any political battle we are in right now. He's reminding us of that. Then he goes on, he says this, he goes, "Hey, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it." He's reminding us that you and I, we are in Jesus, and Jesus is not of this world, and so neither are we. Then he goes on and goes, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. I read that and I thought, wow, he literally has set 2,000 plus years later, he has sent us into the Missoula area for a big cause, for a big purpose, so that we can win in this season. He goes on in verse 20, he says it this way, and I love this. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." This is so powerful, church, because you know what this is? This is Jesus praying, and this is Jesus talking about CLC 2,000 years later. Like, he's basically saying 2,000 years from now, there's going to be a group of people, a group of believers in the Missoula area who are part of this church that I'm praying for. And they're going to believe in a message that they've heard, and they're going to follow me. What a powerful prayer that he's praying for you even today. And so look what he prays for CLC in the next verse. "That all of them may be Republicans." Wait a minute, got it wrong. "That all of them may be Democrats." Is that what it says? "That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." That you have sent me. And then he closes it out this prayer this way. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then," get this, "then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." What a great prayer that Jesus prays for us. And he ends it with, "May they be in complete unity." It's the prayer that Jesus prayed for us and how he wants us to win in this season. So real quickly this morning, let me give you some challenges for all of us. Like, as we are in the midst of this divisive political world that we live in right now, how are we, as Jesus' church, supposed to act and respond during this season? So that whether your candidate wins or not, we as a church still win. we still win, and we're able to be all that God has called us to be. So here's my challenges for you this morning. Let me give you number one. Number one is simply this. As part of Jesus' church, we are Christians first and American citizens second. We are Christian citizens first, Christians first and American citizens second. This doesn't mean that I'm not proud to be an American, right? When Lee Greenwood sings, I stand with the rest of you, right? Like, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be part of a political party. That does not mean that any of those things are not important. It just simply means they are not the number one identity that I carry. They're not the number one identity that I carry. I was in a car with a friend of mine, pastor mentor of mine, and we were just driving and we had the news on, and there became this news brief against this this leader who had professed for so long to be a follower of Christ and a Christian. He wasn't political, but just a public eye figure. But he did some unethical and things that lacked integrity. And I was in the car and we're listening to this, and the interview with this guy was taking place. And the interview, he made some statements like, well, it's just not a big deal. It's being made bigger than it is. He made statements like, I am who I am. We all mess up. I can do what I want, you know, those types of things. And my pastor mentor friend just kind of spoke out. He says, I just can't believe that guy. Like, listen to him. I mean, his lack of integrity is offensive. And I just looked, for I said the first thing that came to my mind, I just looked at my friend. I said, well, it's not a big deal. He's not a pastor. It's not a big deal. He's not a pastor. Like, I was coming from the idea that every time there's a Christian in the bad news, it's because there's a pastor tied to it who did something stupid. And I'll never forget, my friend looked at me and he responded this way. He said, Heath, we are Christians first and pastors second. We're Christians first and pastors second. Can I encourage you today, you carry around a greater title than teacher, friend, worker, mom, dad, husband, wife, maybe grandparent. You carry around a greater title. You carry around the title of Christian. You carry around the fact that you're someone that bears the name of Jesus Christ. And someone who bears the name of Jesus Christ, in the midst of this season, we need to evaluate our own actions as we walk through this political season. Let us recognize, even if our politician we want doesn't win, we are winning as followers of Jesus. We're winning as followers of Jesus. We're winning in our talk. We're winning in our love. We're winning in our desire to care and be welcoming. Remember what Jesus says, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. In other words, these people are connected with me. And let me remind you guys, all of us as a church this morning, you are not tied to some person who might be voted in for 4 years. We are connected to the name that is above every name. We're connected to the name that is above every name, and it's bigger than any kingdom of this world. And so let us do a good job of representing him in this season. Let me remind you, 1 Peter 2 says this way. It's familiar scripture. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Listen, we CLC, we are a chosen people, God's special possession. It is not our agenda. Our primary agenda is to declare the praises of him. And hear me this morning. I'm going to say this in all love and care for us all in the room. But I get worried in our world that we are more American than we are Christian. We are more American than we are Christian. In our actions, the things that we say, the way we fight. Listen, I get passionate about all those things as well. I do. I have an opinion, just like all of you. We all have an opinion. But where are those who will get equally passionate about proclaiming the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we need. Listen, I believe this. If we campaign for him like we do our candidate, I think we would see our city changed. We campaign for him. As drastic as we campaign for our candidate, I think we'd see our city change. I'm just saying, let us remember that we are Christians first and Americans or Republicans or Democrats second. It is not our primary identity. If you will look at your politics through your primary identity, I think you would treat people differently. I think you would accept people deeper. I think we would post online differently, right? I took some interns years back on a trip, and it was lunchtime, so we went to the mall, and I just went into the food court, and I said, hey, go where you want to go, eat what you want to eat, you know, just grab your food, whatever. And one of our interns went to this place called Long John Silver's. Anybody ever heard of Long John Silver's? I don't know if that's a Montana thing. And I'm like, let me just say this, and maybe this is a political statement, but here we go. Seafood should never go with fast food, all right? Seafood should never go with fast food. It's ungodly. And this dude, this kid brought it back, and I immediately started judging him. I'm like, who are you? Like, who eats that? Like, that is disgusting. Like, why would you waste your money on that? Hear me, my identity was not I'm better or I had a better decision than you or I'm better at making those seafood decisions better than you. But as a Christian, as a pastor, despite our indifference in this area, I will love him in the primary area that I'm called to love him. And you may say, well, Pastor, that sounds stupid. That whole statement sounds dumb. Well, I would say to you, you know what? It's equally dumb to cancel people over the things that we've been canceling them over in our lives. Just to canceling them. You are a Christian first, proclaiming Jesus first. And that's the way it should be. So here's my question for you, Christian Life Center. Man, I hope you get this down. But here is simply this. Are you willing this morning to evaluate your politics through the filter of your faith rather than creating a version of faith that supports your politics? Are you willing to evaluate your politics through the filter of your faith rather than creating a version of faith that supports your politics? I think if we took a step back, not as a Republican, not as a Democrat, not as rich or poor, not as young or old, but as a Christian, and said to ourselves, how am I supposed to look at this? How am I supposed to act? Let me just be clear. As a Christian, you look objectively at both sides. You're supposed to do that. You have permission to do that. And there are going to be things and issues that rub you the wrong way, as they should. And you're going to say, ooh, but I don't think Jesus is happy about that. We have to evaluate politics from that lens. The lens that simply says, I'm a follower of Jesus first, and second, I'm an American citizen. Let me get number two, help you out. As part of Jesus' church, our goal is not total agreement, but total love. As a church, a Jesus church, our goal is not total agreement, but total love. And I think it's important in this season to understand that not everybody at CLC acts or thinks the way you act or believe. I know that's shocking. I know you thought everybody here thinks exactly like you. I was the same way. I mean, I remember when I came in here, I thought everybody's going to think just like me, right? And I realized they don't think like me. It's shocking. You should, but just kidding. But hear me this morning. We care about having a healthy church. Like, that is my desire. I pray for it every week, every day. Lord, give us a healthy church. Because a healthy church, in a healthy church, how many know healthy things grow? And we want to be that healthy church. And there are so many different thoughts in our church, different backgrounds, yet the same people who love Jesus, love the church, and serve the church. I mean, if COVID taught us anything about that, it was that, right? Come on. How many remember? Mask or no mask? Gather, don't gather. Go online, don't go online. Vaccine, don't vaccine. How many know we all had an opinion? We all had a stance. All extremes were in the church. Our goal is not to get everybody in total agreement about every single issue. There are certain things that we are going to disagree with. And yet, if you do, you're still welcome at our church. You're still welcome here. It should be a healthy place altogether. As long, I'll make this caveat, as long as Jesus is the focus. As long as Jesus is the center, we are a church family. Remember what Jesus said it this way, right? In John 17, he said again, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, through our message, that all of them may be one. It's not about agreement. He's not talking about agreement. He's talking about the idea that we may be connected. He said it again, in John 13. He said it this way: a new command I give you, love one another. Get this, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. You know what Jesus is saying there? The way I loved you, despite the fact that you haven't always been on the same page with Jesus. Some of you, before you even walked in this room, were already off page with Jesus. And you know what? He still loved you. He still cared for you. That's what he's saying there. Even though we're not on the same page, I still love you. So, hey, the same way I love you, love one another. Love each other that same way. We need to be that kind of church that walks in the way of love and care for each other. And the big question is, well, why, Pastor? Why? You know why? Because the world is watching. The world is watching us. I wrote down this way: the church should be a safe place where we can disagree politically, but love unconditionally. Right? It's got to be a safe place. And I know that's easier said than done. Right? It's not just wake up one morning and we achieve that. I know, hear me, I want you to be very clear if you're looking for a fill in the blank here. I know there are issues that the church has to and needs to stand up for. There are. There are issues that we should be championing. There are issues that we should be behind and want to see happen. We all know that. But it doesn't quench our ability to love. It doesn't quench our ability to love. If we aren't a safe place, hear me, church, then what example does the world have to follow? If we aren't a safe place, then what example do they have to follow? If the church can't be united in love in this particular season, then how do we expect our nation to be united in love? We must set the tone that we can have people from different backgrounds and different extremes, and yet we can come together in unity and love despite the fact that we don't agree all the time. Some people, I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to wait and see if the church agrees with everything that I want. And they're out there. You can find it. You can find a church that'll agree with everything that you want, but I would just say to you, you don't grow that way. Like, you don't grow, you won't be stretched the way that God wants you to be stretched anymore. Be careful that you're not always trying to get around people who only agree with you. In fact, Jesus was a great example of that. If you look over his whole ministry and life, where was he always at? Sinners, politicians, religious leaders, rich, poor, outcast. I mean, he was all over the place. We need to be united around what matters most. We don't go for total agreement in a political party. We go for total love in the fact that we care and are behind each other. In other words, I've got your back, you've got my back. If you're a Republican, let me just say this to you this morning. If you're in the room and you're a Republican, I want to encourage you. You need to love and pray for your Democrat brother and sisters. If you are a Democrat in the room, you need to love, care, and pray for your Republican brothers and sisters. We love each other. I make this statement to you to be on the screen. These two statements, simply this. Number one, we must not let anything divide us as a church. Nothing, not a politician, not an agenda that puts itself against us, ahead of the church. Nothing. We must not let anything divide us as a church. And number two, we must not let anyone divide us as a church. Nothing should come before us. And hear me this morning, not a politician, not an agenda that puts itself ahead of the church. As important as this election is, his agenda is much more important. Jesus' agenda is much more important. Let me give you the last one. As part of Jesus' church, our primary goal is not to align with a temporary political party, but instead to align with an eternal and victorious Jesus. Our primary goal is not to align with a temporary political party, but instead to align with an eternal and victorious Jesus. I think there is such an agenda out there saying, listen, I need you to join my side. I need you to align with me. The fate of the world depends on it. Maybe that's true to you. But hear me this morning. At CLC, our goal is to align with an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-in-control Jesus. Political parties aren't forever. They aren't. Don't believe me? Okay. Any Federalists in the room today? You don't believe me? Any Whigs in the room today? No. Why? Because the political parties came and went. And as important as our political parties are, your goal in life is not to get everyone to align with your politics. It is to get them to align with your eternal and victorious Jesus. As important as voting is, and I said, do it. You have to vote. As important as this election is, as important as the different issues are, and we'll talk more about those next week, the most important thing we have to do is understand that we are not here to align ourselves with a political politician or a political party. Our goal is to align ourselves with the eternal and victorious Jesus Christ. John 15, again, I close with this scripture. He writes it in verse 23. He says, I and them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. What a powerful prayer that Jesus prays over us. It's a prayer that maybe we've gotten away from in the church, Big C church in the world today. So I want to give you this commission today as those here who are Republicans and those who are here that are Democrats. Above all of that, let me give you this mandate. Let me give you this commission. Paul writes it in 2 Corinthians 5. Here's your commission. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us. Through all of us. I want to commission you and challenge you this week. We need to go on the campaign trail this week to make Jesus famous. Let's campaign for Jesus this week. Let's campaign for him, for Jesus to make him famous in our workplace, in our homes, in our schools, in our friendships, in our own lives. And here's why. Because if our goal is to simply to get someone elected, then in 4 years from now, we're going to have the same issues we have right now. But if our goal is to make Jesus famous, then the people who meet him are forever changed and forever transformed. And how many know, come on, how many know he is the only solution for our world and our nation today? He's the only solution. I wrote down this way, man. I believe this. Christianity can survive without America. It's been doing it much longer than America's been around. Thousands of years, Christianity has survived without America. I just believe that. But America cannot survive without Christianity. America cannot survive without Christianity. We need to be the church that our primary focus is to make Jesus famous in every area of our lives. Amen? Just stand with me this morning. If you have your phones, you can take it out. If you you can go back online and catch this, but I thought I'm going to do this over the next two weeks. But I encourage you this week, just wherever you are, to make this prayer. I wrote a prayer that I want us to pray together, a prayer for our nation, prayer for America. And I want us to do it together today. Can we say this prayer as one together in this place? Here's the prayer. Say it with me. God, I pray for the United States and for protection over those running for office. Our nation needs Jesus. Show us mercy and turn this nation back to you. Raise up leaders during this election who help us live peacefully, godly lives. I pray for the policies that will protect your church and the most vulnerable in our society. Help me represent you through my words and action. Send revival to America. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. Would you join me? Let's worship the Lord together.
In all my life, you have been faithful. We sing it out. In all my life, you have been so.
I just feel like, so I was talking about church and state, and it's just this overwhelming that we are all just filled with such worries today. Like, we just have this overwhelmed sense of worry and anxiety, and maybe it's over who would be elected, or how will things turn out, and where are we going as a country. And I just feel like the Lord wants to say to you today, it's time for you just to release that to God. Just to release it to the Lord. And sit there, maybe if we had a different mindset, and just say, you know what? Thank you, God, that I'm part of a bigger kingdom. That I'm part of a bigger kingdom. And maybe our prayer, Lord, let us build your kingdom here on earth. That's what our desire, that's what you've commissioned us to do. To make you famous, to build that kingdom here on earth. And so, Lord, I just speak this over CLC. I speak unity over our church today. Lord, may you bring us together under one banner, under one thought, that, Lord, you are our primary, that you are our goal. And that, Lord, I constantly believe that we as people, if we put you first, if we make you the priority, you just have a way of making everything else fall into place. So help us today to be excused and relieved of fear and worry. Lord, help us to do our duty as American citizens, to do our duty to vote and to stand for the things that are important, and more importantly, stand for the things that are biblical. But at the end of the day, God, it is about giving you all glory and all honor. And we thank you for that. We can bow our eyes. Bow our head and close our eyes for just one moment before I close out. If you're here today, you've heard this talk, and the biggest thing I want you to grab a hold of is this guy, this amazing Savior named Jesus, who went to a cross and he died for you. If you're here this morning and you're like, you're hearing this, and yet your relationship with God is so far, he's not the primary in your life, and you want to make him the primary of your life, right where you're sitting today, if that's you, we're not going to embarrass you just right where you are, but if you want to make God the primary of your life, would you just put your hand up and put it back down? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see those hands everywhere. Thank you. So, Lord, right now, there are those who raised their hand and said, oh, God, I want to make you primary. So, Lord, right, we pray for them right where they're sitting. And right there as they're sitting, it's just this simple, it's just this easy, folks, just to simply say, God, I want to make you my everything. Right there where you're standing, you can just say that to yourself. God, I want to make you my everything. I want to live for you. Lord, would you forgive me of my sins and help me to follow you in my actions, in my thoughts, in my ways. I give my life to you. It belongs to you. In Jesus' name. So now, Lord, I pray your hand upon everyone in this room today. May your face shine upon us, Lord, which simply means may the joy of your face shine upon us. May we as a church know that you are constantly happy to be with us and happy to see us. And so, Lord, I pray for those today that are walking through decisions. As soon as they walk out these doors, decisions they have to make. Maybe there's those facing financial crisis or health crisis. I pray right now that, Lord, they would meet that with you. That you would be their God and you would go before us. We love you today. We honor you in Jesus' name. Everyone said together, amen, amen. Come on, can we give it up one time? Amen. Hey, I hope you still love me. I'll be backstage hiding. Hope you still love me. But make Jesus the main thing. Campaign for him. I want to say this. If you need prayer today, or maybe you gave your life to the Lord, we have a prayer team right in this corner that'd love to just pray with you. If you anything you need, we want to pray for you, or you just want to tell, hey, this is what I did today. I gave my life to the Lord. Come talk to them. If you're new here, we'd love to meet you. My wife and I will be down over this side. Other than that, come volunteer, stay around and help us clean up and get ready for this weekend. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.